try and cover a few points.
So let's start, open to the master, open the master. To page 62. 63. And so the dhamma that you have for Maru basically is the same you have every Sunday night. So you got the Shmonesrei. There's one difference before that, which I'm not talking about now. You get the Shmonesrei. So Shmonesrei has two differences than normally. First, we have four insertions, which are added into the regular Shmonesrei part, and then the middle last thing is about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so the four insertions are on page 62 in a nice big bowl. We put the ticket in bowl because it's brand new. Zechenu l'chayim, melech habeit b'chayim. Remember for life, page 63 gives you a translation. Remember for life, O King, who does that? Why did he do that? Really? O King, who thou desires life, inscribe us in the book of life for your sake. And again, there's another one on page 64. Again, in bold. And there's two more. Let's see the two more at the end. One on page 72. Again, in bold. You should inscribe all of us for a good life. Okay? And on page 74, the sacred Chayim, the book of life, blessing, peace, etc., etc., for a good, all, the entire family of Israel, for a good life and for peace. What's interesting is that so on page 74 it says for a good life. Page 72 it says, describe us for a good life. On page 62 it says, describe us for life. So we mention a good life. Right? So, why? What's going on over here? Why don't we ask for it? So, okay. So we can say we build up. You know, first you ask for life.
It's pretty ambiguous.
That's also very ambiguous. It's a good point. Also, good life is not clear. Life, I think everybody agrees on pretty much what life is for the most part. Okay, so let's understand that there are actually going to be just two different requests for life. There's request number one, which is here on page 62. Request number two, which is on page 72 and 74. What is the difference between the two requests? So, somewhere in your travels in Jewish philosophy, you've met somebody named the Ramchal. Maybe you've met somebody named the Ramchal. Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Anybody rings a bell? Baruch Hashem, the Way of God, the Book of the Way of God, Half of the Jaws, other than the books, okay? So he addresses this question. These are the fascinating thoughts. There are actually two separate judgments that take place every year. And I'll explain it with an analogy. Okay? So I'm a coach and I have a team. And I have two guys on my team. And one of them, I decided this fellow can go all the way. This fellow's making big in professional sports. So what I'm going to be, the way I'm going to treat him and deal with him, expect of him, is quite different than the other guy, which I think maybe he'll make it to the varsity team. Right? And that's where it's gonna end. Right? But, you know, maybe not, you know, I'm gonna choose to be the different one. So the first question I have to decide is, are you in group one or in group two? Is this the fellow gonna make it all the way? Or is the fellow gonna make it only part way? Then once I decide that, okay, in group one, how should I deal with him? In group two, how should I deal with them? So it's two decisions I'm going to make. I'm going to first categorize you guys, and then after I categorize you guys, I'm going to say, okay, now that we got that, let's get all the details, how are we going to deal with you specifically? So the first, using that analogy, there's two decisions that have to be made. What group do you people belong to? You're in the group of the tzaddikim, or the group of the non-tzaddikim. We'll leave it like that, okay? Are you doing well or not doing well? Now, if a person who's a tzaddik, I'm gonna call upon him to play a role in the world. A person who's not, I have a different job for him. the role I'm going to call the Saudi, the righteous person to call upon, that's going to color how, what, I mean, what type of life I'm going to give him. So the first decision is, what group do you belong to? You belong to a group of people which are alive, people which are not alive. The way you inscribe yourself into the book of life is by making yourself an alive person. A live person is a person who has awareness. The difference between somebody who's alive and somebody dead is, do you have awareness of it? Dead people don't feel anything. You can stick anything into them, they don't feel it. You mean a person who's alive feels something. If a person who's alive spiritually, do these things bother you? Do you care? Is it important to you? That's step number one. So, and then you're in that group. That group is going to get a different treatment. The other group talks to things sometimes also. You got to pay them, you got to give them, but I can't give them reward, as Jim says, in the eternal world, because he doesn't fit in there. He's going to get it in this world. Now, he might have a great life, quote unquote. That's not a great life. You know, you feed the animal very well, you take it to the slaughter, it's not very exciting. You know, he looks like he's having a good time, but you know, nobody envies that kind of a situation. The other fellow, which seems to be having more difficult, so I go back to my analogy, and I said, this guy's naked. I said, buddy, first of all, I'm really tough with him. Because I want to push him to the limit, push him to the max. And I expect a lot of hours of practice out of him, which I don't expect out of the other guy. Right? What was it? Right. The fellow wants to become the Olympic swimmer. Michael Phelps, what he say? He said, right, he eats and swims. That's his life. He sleeps, eats, and swims. Right? That's not a lie. Well, definitely he had friends along the way. He said, Michael, come, let's go out and have a good time. Let's go hang out. Right? He said, no, I'm busy. But now that he's sitting there on top of the world, they say, hey, you know, it's not fair. You're not fair. The guy lived a miserable life for X amount of years. He deserved it. So the coach says, this guy, he can make it to the top. I'm expecting the practice in 3 hours. If he didn't practice in 3 hours, he signed that a line, swears to it. I'm not talking to the guy for a week, and I'll be me. Hey, the other guy, okay, you can practice. Not fair. Very fair. Because I need to check for him something way beyond my different other guy. So the guy is starting. He's in the book of life. Might get the heart retreat. Because we're going to push it. We're going to challenge it. We're going to raise the hurdle. So the first deal is the great old guy. Put us into the world. Get us into the world of the paper. Put us in the book of life. We like to move a little bit. Even though it might be harder in this world. But hey, if the world starts when you're born and ends when you die, it's difficult. A human being in the sense of the soul is eternal, and we're here forever. That's the person exists forever. So this is a very short time, short time span. I want to go for the long term deal. So he goes to the long term deal and he says, "Consider the Sefer HaKai." Number one. Now that we're hopefully in Sefer HaKai, he comes to now give us a time target. Time target is we have a right to ask. Some might say no. We're right to ask for a life which we can relate to this world. So, person says, I would like to have kids. I would like to have money. I would like to have health. God might say no. He says, you know, for you, the challenge is going to be how you're going to deal with an illness. And you might grow from an illness more than a person who grew without an illness. You have all the stories you always have on people who know that their life changed and they became better people and bigger people because they had to go through difficulty. Something you shouldn't have. So we ask for Chaim and Toivin at the end. Now that we've established which group we're in, let's talk about, okay, day-to-day details. Hopefully it'll be good. That's the first. You don't ask for it because there's always a challenging thing. You actually say every morning, don't give us a test. Don't test us. Now, everybody knows you grow from tests. But tests are extremely scary things. Because tests, you can fail a test. Now, in Hebrew, there's two words for a test. There's two words for a test. It's a long question. It's a very good question. There's two words for a test. There's, in English, a bechina. In Hebrew, there's something called a bechina, which is a test. And Yisrael also means a test. Now, in English, they're both called tests. But there's two different types of tests. Test number one is what you get when you go to school. is something which you already have. Now, hopefully it's a test, right? You already have it. You're coming into the test. X amount of knowledge that you have, we're going to test how much knowledge you have. That's one type of a test. Second type of a test, you go for an interview, and the boss wants to see how you're going to react to the situation. And he throws all these different types of things at you without you realizing that's what he's trying to do with that. You never dealt with them before. We're just seeing what are you going to... It's brand new. You never dealt with them before. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to respond? It's also a test. Which one's a harder test? Obviously, the second one is much harder than the first. The first one, you're a master of the knowledge. You've dealt with things. You're repeating yourself. Everything is good. You're on... Right? That test we can answer. That's called a beginner. And he saw you in the test where it's brand new. We don't know what's going to be. The reaction might be, I once was in visiting someone in the hospital, and the person was telling me, the person was involved in getting the daily pack of shots, etc. So the clinic where they went to was the same place which all people go for chemotherapy going. This person wasn't going for that, they're going for something else. But most of the people there were going for chemo. And so the patient comes to the therapist, it must be very difficult place to work. Really in a clinic where people are getting chemo, like, you know, it's a very sad, difficult place. And the therapist responded and said, I've met the nicest people in the world go through these doors. Right? Why? These are people who, they're putting their life in perspective. They're making priority. Some of them don't have as much time to live. Some of them, and they realize, look back, I wasted my life. Let's get it in place for the last, you know, echoes that I might have left. Let's try to be upbeat and do what we have. Some people crumble, they fall apart when they get into a situation, and they become angry at the world. It's not fair. You know, I was walking through this ward, and there was I was in the hospital myself. I was in the hospital myself, and there was a prison down the hall, which I would visit sometimes, but I wasn't doing. And this person was happy of being a teacher. One day he just lost. He was totally lost. The doctor came in and told him that basically he has a cancer which they have no cure for. And the anger that he had, and this is the same person. Could we get a phone call later on? He was just angry. It's sort of responsive, a scary situation. So we pray, every morning he asks, don't bring this to an Isoyan. And don't bring this to a Bizoyan. An Isoyan is a test of a brand new, challenging situation. And a Bizoyan is embarrassing. Because we're scared. We might be tested with that, and who knows how we're going to go, what's going to happen to us. We doubt we shouldn't have it. The reality is that they're the best thing for us sometimes. But we can't pray for them because they're very scared. We don't know how we're going to react. It's not old material. It's brand new. Okay. So we ask for described in a life of science. We end up this story here with Lamanfa. The Ben Lukayim, this is in English. Remember us for life, O King with Desire's life. Hashem, you want to give life. The goal of the rule is to give life, not that the human should make it. They should get it. They should get the reward. That was the goal. He didn't create it that people should mess up. He created that we should be challenged. The purpose of a person's challenges, desires, etc. is not to succumb, it's to overcome and become better because of it. The problem is a lot of times we misuse those the purposes of our challenges and desires and we succumb. But you don't want that. Describe the book of life for your sake. What is it for your sake? Lamanfa, for your sake. Right. So the philosopher gave an analogy to understand this. You guys have been in some fancy restaurants in your life, I imagine, at some point in your life. Been in a fancy hotel, you know, I remember 1982. 83. There was a hotel in part of the World Trade Center complex. There's a hotel called the Vista. It's international. I was on a date with a young lady, and we went there. There was a lobby over there. Gorgeous lobby. It was sitting in the lobby, and the fellow comes by offering drinks. They ordered a drink. There's those 7-ounce bottles, you know, the old glass bottle, you know, 7-ounce bottles of Sprite for $15 a bottle. This is in 1983. You're crazy. Like, whoa, you know, bad enough. He had to get there. He had to do a parking. He had to do, yeah, I got $15 a bottle. It's like, okay, we're good. Fine. Okay. So we're still talking to him. He came to Paris and his travels. And he ended up in his hotel over there. And they charged him a phenomenal amount of money for a cup of coffee. You know, those days stand. Very expensive. There's one way that it won't cost you anything. It's called an expense account for the boys. Right? You go there with a business client, it's no problem, you put it on the bill, and the boss pays for it. Say, great, have five Sprites for all I care at that time, you know? Right? No problem, because you're not paying for it. Because we're all giving a lot of wonderful things in this world, right? You've got to pay for that. Right? He's giving a lot of good things, you've got to pay. But if you're working for the boss, then awesome. That's what mom said. If we can truly say that our goal is the mantra that we're here, but we want to work for God, then everything else comes for free. So our goal is, it has to be an honest assessment. You know, I was talking about, I showed this yesterday. There's so many opportunities that a person has of being on you guys with their specific ones. I said over a fascinating thought from Hirsch in the previous, yesterday's parsha. Hirsch is like this. You have the 11 churches, but, you know, they came into Israel, the land of Israel, and they got all the Jews together, six of the tribes on one mountain, the other mountain. The Levites in the middle, and they called out together one voice, a loud voice, and everybody answered Amen. They accepted the whole Torah at that point in time as a blessing and as a curse. If you don't do it, it's a curse. If you do it, you get a blessing. So there's 11 of them that they said. The Torah writes them in the negative, in the curse sense. Curse is a man who moves the boundary from his neighbor's field to his neighbor's field. Curse is a man who says what's an art. Curse is a man who lives with his mother. Curse is a man, etc. The Gemara says each one of them was first started with a blessing. Blessed is a man who doesn't speak what's an art. Blessed is a man who doesn't move the boundary. Blessed is a man who doesn't live with his mother. Now that's pretty great. You get a blessing for not speaking what's an art. You know, I got a neighbor, didn't move the fence, you know, I could have moved it over 3 feet even when he wasn't looking. I didn't do that. Bless him. Wow, that's cool. Right? You get a block, but just not doing something wrong. But there's one not like that. The last one. The last one is written, all of them are, the curse is for doing something. Curse is the one who does this, but the blessing is for not doing it. The last one is cursed is the man who does not uphold the curse. You're blessed if you do uphold the Torah, and you're cursed if you don't. I mean, the person's in a situation, so what does it mean to uphold the Torah? So one of the explanations means you can increase the awareness of God in the world. You can increase goodness in the world. And we have opportunities for that all the time. Every time you do that, you get a blessing. Every time you had an opportunity and you don't do that, you get the opposite. That's what the positive is saying. So, if a person, right, says hello to his friend, how are you doing, and makes the guy say, you add improvement for the world. You get the blessing. He had an opportunity to do that, and he blew it. So we get it. So the opportunity for Monica to live for God's sake, you know, I get truthfully said I live for God's sake, you know, I'm having breakfast just for God's sake, right? You know, not me. I'm not, you know, that's not. But there are many opportunities in my life. I can say, listen, breakfast is mine, God. I'll give you part of the day. I can be aware that the more I do what I'm supposed to be doing, the more people will come up to me. The more that I'm nice to people, the more people will respect. The more that I try and do it, there's so many ways that I can increase the awareness of God in the world. That I have an opportunity for my mom. I couldn't do that for God's sake. So I'm not totally off the page with a different amount. Henry Salanter was the father of the modern ethics movement in Turo, which stopped by this path of the Lamont and sit there for a long time thinking about it. And he honestly said Lamont. It would give him a lot of pause at this spot. I think that's the person can even take one area. The one area I'm going to work on this year, I'm going to try and increase the awareness of God. You've heard of a phrase, Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Yeah, you've heard of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem? Anybody who doesn't have heard of it? Okay, those have not heard of it. Okay, Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. Chilul Hashem, translation, desecrate. The Zohar says that the word chilul comes from the word halal. Halal is a vacuum. Really, if you think about it, we picture creation ex nihilo. God created the world something from nothing. The truth is that that's not true. And all Tanya says, we all heard of Tanya. Come on. Right? The Bible collects someone in the world, you haven't heard of Tanya. Right? The basic book of the Bible Peter is Tanya. So Tanya says an interesting thought. He says, God is just, God is Yesh. He exists. But if we'd have total awareness of God in every place, we wouldn't have free will. So God created, as it were, a place where you can not see Him. That's nothing. If God exists, that's non-existent. So God created a vacuum. The world exists in a halal, in a vacuum. Chilul Hashem is increasing that void. And Kiddush Hashem is reversing that void and putting more God into the world. So a person who deals with his business dealings honestly, I'm going to tell you, there's a rabbi over here. He grew up in Peoria, Illinois. And he says in Peoria, Illinois, which is, you know, near the Chicago, the metal works and the scrapyards over there, there was a Jew over there, an immigrant, who made a big in metal, scrap metal. Metal was worth this in the 20s, metal was worth millions of dollars. He had no lawyers, nothing. Everybody in the city, every Jew and Goy in the whole city knew that this fellow's word was as good as gold. If he said it, it was done. And whatever cost him, if he said it, it was done. And nobody had to, he said it, a handshake, it was done. So you need a contract. So this guy put all the words out of business. I mean, you can imagine, all he did was do like this. But the awareness of, he's an Orthodox Jew, and the awareness of, this is the way a human being is supposed to look. So people wanted to be like that. People emulated that. That's something which we all have. So that's Lamanifa, it's within our range. Okay. I think we're going overtime over here a little bit, so let's... I'll do one more thought, and then we'll sing on to the next step, whatever's supposed to happen next. Page 64. Okay. So, there is a certain insertion, which you don't have in your regular one, actually, that starts on page 64. It's not in bold letters. Not the bold one. You go down. The fifth line is regular. Tokadosh, you say to the beginning of the third blessing. Tokadosh, you're holy. Your name is holy. And holy beings praise you constantly. And therefore, place the awe of God on the whole world. Okay? So the thrust over here is very much on the concept of fear of God. We sort of, that's not very in vogue, the idea of fear of God. instill the fear of the Lord in him. You know, so, you know, you picture like go back 100 years ago, right? The fear of the Lord. We relate to God through love, the loving God, the caring God, the caring God who is there for us, aware of us. Why are we focusing on Nero? I want to just translate the concept of Nero for a second. We picture Nero's fear. I'll tell you a philosophical question. Every emotion a human being has, God has. We are like, we can emulate God because we parallel God. God has love. We have His own kind of love. God is caring, has mercy. It's all of them who speak in the world. Does God have fear? We have a capacity to fear. Does God have a capacity to fear? What? That's obvious. That's the question. So, some of the Jewish philosophers in the majority have said, no, God is not here. The majority say that that's not true. And they explain Nero in the following way. So if we understand what Nero is, we can say it's life without all. Okay, so, back to our analogy. You're walking down, it's late at night, you're walking down an alley, you're all by yourself, see a cock in the morning, there's nobody around, you're walking down this, and you see this guy coming at you, and he's 350 pounds, and he looks like he's almost. And he's got two bats in each hand. And he doesn't have a smile on his face. So he does, and there's a smile on the guy, he says, ah, great, I got him. So your first feeling is fear, right? You scared out of your wits, right? But one second, I didn't describe you yet. Oh, no problem. You're 400 pounds. You got two bad things happening. No fear, right? Fear is awareness of a limit. Right? Fear is always predicated. I have a limit vis-a-vis X, therefore I'm scared. When I'm not limited, I have no fear. God puts limits on himself. He also limits himself. He doesn't deal with human beings the way he'd always want to assess. He limits himself. He doesn't, not fear, but the idea of limits he has. The opposite of fear, then, is Ava. Ava is where, instead of being very acutely aware of the difference and distance between the two of us, we break down the barrier and we connect together. That's what love is. Love is two people come together. So here is the awareness of that, how different we are, and love is when we come together. Yiras Hashem, fear of God, doesn't mean I walk around trembling. It means a human being's awareness of his limits vis-a-vis God. To the extent that he's able to control himself with those. So he's putting limits on himself. I don't do it because... Right, so the Rambam says, now the immediate result of that is going to be out. Because imagine I'm aware of this wonderful fellow who's so much smarter than me, so much more on the ball than me, so much richer than me. So he has everything going for him. So I'm acutely aware of the distance between the two of us. And if he befriends me, he cares about me, that feeling increases my love for him. Because even that guy is way out there looking to me. So Yira and Ava cycle. And then I step aside and say, wow, that fellow was so nice to me. I feel so limited visiting him. And I cycle back and forth. The Rambam says, the Rambam puts it between Ava and Yira go together. They cycle. We're pretty good at the Ava part. So we ask God, you give the Yira part. You know, we're not good at that sometimes. We don't like thinking about our limits. So, God, we need help with that. The world needs help with that. You put it all together, and we'll get it into us. We'll deal with the next part. The next part is, we'll get back to you as much as we can. And that's the thought of, you start to look at the color of you. The whole world will process himself. Means they're going to get back to you as much as they can. Frustration is an idea of total negation. I'm just giving everything back. It's not negation of myself that I don't exist. It's giving myself all the total. That's up. So there's a year of elements and there's another element that goes together. Gentlemen, it's very nice to meet you.